Okay, Bob, take it away.
This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as the mother protects with her life the child, her only child. So, with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
See some new faces in the crowd. Hey, so this is our, I think, third last Monday night for the monks' Buddhist calendar, because afterwards we'll be going into the rains retreat, and then the monks get to have a break, or you get to have a break from me. Never mind. It's lovely to see everybody coming here to just, you could say, get reminded on what the teachings of meditation is all about, because I'm pretty sure each and every one of you know the teachings, and always found it over the years, even though I've listened to so many talks, I've read some of the suttas, and one thing that I find interesting is that what the Buddha spoke about and what these monks speak about, there is some sort of truth in it. It's somehow, it does make sense that the Buddha was pointing out to, through his observations of the world, how reality really works. And also just seeing human nature for what it really is, and what makes people work what makes people happy, what makes people sad, and or what makes people wise. And one of the things that he teaches us all the time is meditation. And that's why we're here tonight, just to learn a few tricks and tips on how to just settle the mind down. Settle the mind down. So, yes, when we meditate, when we look into our own minds, we'll start to see things happening. And if we, you know, in a sense, we bring our world into the meditation. And I don't know what kind of world you have, but the world is sort of like replaying when you're sitting down. And because we've been taught by a lot of people that the goal of meditation is to have a peaceful mind, to have a quiet mind. And that is true. Eventually, you will get there. But at the beginning stages, or you know, when you just had a busy day, you come down, there's always that word in Buddhism called conditioning. And that is, it just basically means, just for an example, like if a child is raised up in a certain way, they will act in a certain way. And I think I remember this one example, there was like maybe a monkey or something like that, like being raised by a herd of sheep. I'm just making it up, but the monkey started to act like like a herd of sheep because of this phenomenon we call conditioning. So we come into this meditation with this conditioned mind. Yeah? Australian, Sri Lankan, Cambodian, German. This is the condition that we bring in. And just coming here and learning these teachings, we're learning a different type of conditioning. You could say it's like the conditioning that comes from the Buddha. The teachings of peace, the teachings of letting go. And also, you know, this and this is like a method that we're trying to incorporate into this meditation practice. And as always, when you sit down, is to just bring your mind into this moment. Like I always say, like bring your mind into this room. You know, trying to just use your like emotional intelligence and just feel what this room feels like. Is it peaceful? It's a very nice and peaceful and calming room. That's why we painted the walls blue. Because it's supposed to be, somebody said, like, I think psychologists say the color blue is very calming. Huh?
And pink.
So it's either blue or pink. Mm. So we're monks, so we didn't choose pink, obviously. So we chose blue. So this room is like very calming. So I always tell you, like, understand the situation that you're in and how that situation influenced you. Just imagine if you were now in a nightclub trying to meditate. That would just lead your mind into like a bit of craziness, right? And now you're in this room, which has been here for many years, developing good vibes because of all the monks that have been here. I'm sure Ajahn Brahm's been here as well. And all the people that's been meditating here Monday night. And that's it builds up like a certain like atmosphere and a feeling that we can somehow tap into when we're meditating. So when we sit down and when we begin the meditation, we try to feel the energy in this room and what it has to offer. And usually when you try to like assess your situation, your mind comes in more into the present moment. And I like to use the example of, the more attention you pay to something, the more care you have for it. And you can see that in your everyday lives. Whatever you give attention to, say a mother who's just had a child, she's giving all this attention to this child. And what happens? There's a lot of care and like a lot of kindness, a lot of like softness arises. Or when we were working on the shrine over the past couple of weeks, and Suka Kamo has been like doing the fine detail work, which takes a long time, but he paid attention to it. He put a lot of, and after a while paying attention to it, understanding how he wants it to look like, you could sort of see that care coming out of it. And whatever you do, if you put care into it, you produce something very nice, something beautiful. And in the same way, if you put care, like even into your own minds, because in a sense, the mind is, we're working on something to produce something from our mind. We come into this room with a restless mind, a sleepy mind, or whatever type of mind, but we're trying to produce like a sense of peace, a sense of stillness. So what do? To get the result that we want is to put care into the process. And this idea of, you know, you learn this from Ajahn Brahm, the knower, was it? The one who knows, and you know the object of the meditation or the object of whatever's happening in your mind. And he always tells me that whatever's happening in your mind, that's not the most important thing. Because sometimes when we see our minds and with all the difficulties, we try to fix it. We try to problem solve. But he says, no, that's not the wrong way. Because what you're actually doing is you're adding more thought into it. You're trying to analyze it. You're trying to figure it out. So what is happening is you're just making more thought. You're creating more restlessness. So instead of trying to focus on the problem, you focus on how you're looking at that problem. So we look at that problem from like a place of, you know, calm, peace, care. I always like the word, like you know, Ajahn Brahm uses the word peace or the word karma, kindness. I always like to use the word calm. It's one of my favorite words. It's like, just do everything calmly. So sometimes I see myself rushing around trying to get things done in the morning, and you sort of lose that calm in whatever you do. And when you lose your calm, what happens? You lose your cool. And when you lose your cool, you explode. Boom. And then when you explode, not only yourself gets hurt, but whoever's surrounding you gets hurt as well. So we should just try to stay calm. That's the secret. You stay calm, then things will start to calm down. It's sort of like the idea of karma, the right intention. And you know, just like the Buddha said in the suttas, you would say that, you know, when a person gives food to a monk, then there's these or a monastic, there's these five benefits. You become healthy because you're giving health to a monk. I think you become beautiful because you give beauty to a monk. I think he's talking about inner beauty. You're giving life to a monk, and in return you live a long life. And then the other one's energy, I think. So you get like energy in return. So you can sort of see that there's a almost a direct relationship towards the actions that you're making. Yeah? And you see that in your life. You know, some people, it's like just basically like in the Western culture, I don't really see too many Westerners come to the monastery to feed the monks. This is nothing against the Westerners, but this, I'm just trying to find out a way to explain it to you, how this idea of karma works. And but as people who live in the world, who have jobs, and if you want to get something done, you have to build up good relationships with people. And I'm pretty sure you find yourself in that situation. And you start to understand that, like being kind when you're at work, talking to somebody, or being kind if you're making a business deal. You get that effect of sort of getting what you want, but you're doing it in a way where it doesn't lead to any like discord or any problems. There's like a direct relationship happening there. And yeah, that's sort of a way where how you can see how karma works in your life. And in the same way, when we're talking about the meditation practice, we're also making karma as well. And the karma that we're trying to produce is more peace and more stillness and more calm. That's why Ajahn Brahm would always say, when you meditate, you're making peace. You're being kind, you're being gentle, you know, the right intentions. He's actually talking about how karma works as well. And I always say, you know, when you make peace, when you're being kind, you're being gentle to a restless mind, to a mind which is sleepy, to a mind which is angry, to a mind which is greedy. Yeah, that may be the problem at the moment, but once that greedy mind disappears, once the angry mind disappears, what are you left with? You're left with that feeling of peace, that stillness, that calm. And the reason is because you've been making peace, being kind, being gentle, from the start of your meditation to the end of your meditation. And that's all it is. It's simple. It's simple. But we just gotta, like I always tell people, just keep on doing it. So I see you guys come here Monday nights. You're here every week. That's very good. Maybe you should have a class on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Will you still come? Probably. I'm sure a lot of you guys will come. Anyways. Okay. Happy times are over. Now it's time to be serious. So we can just acknowledge the warmth of this room, and just knowing that it's a cold night outside. Just getting out of your car and just walking on the monastery's ground, and then it's cold. And it's a little, when you feel cold, you just want it to be warm. And now you're in here, in a warm, quiet place. So just allow your body to feel this warmth. for some of us, it could be a little bit too warm. But that doesn't matter. Just make peace. Be kind. Be gentle. For some of us, it's still too cold. But never mind. Just make peace. Be kind, and be gentle. So, you know, it doesn't really matter what's happening in our mind. The main component is how we're reacting to everything. Are we calm? Are we comfortable? Are we relaxed? Just bringing that sense of ease into the practice. So we're allowing the calmness to turn into stillness. We're allowing the mind to be in order for the mind to become quiet. We are learning how to relax, so our minds can become more awake, more mindful. the more you ease into this meditation practice, the more success you'll have. So you're just sitting down and you're just knowing what is happening now. Just know that your body's sitting down. Just know, notice how still your body is. And you just take your mind and start paying attention to the sensations in your feet. All the while, as you're paying attention to the sensations of your feet, bring in that quietness as well. Now, just take that awareness and just put it on your knees. What does it feel like? Now you can bring your awareness to your backside and feel the sensation, the pressure, all the while bringing in that quietness as well. And as we're doing this, we're just bringing attention to the moment. Just knowing the quietness in this room. There's a direct relationship between the quietness in this room and the quietness of your mind. And now take your awareness and see how your back feels like. So this exercise of body sweeping helps our minds stay in the present moment. Just being able to sit down and meditate is a wonderful thing. It's one of the best gifts that you can give to yourself. And now we can take our minds and just place it on our shoulders. Shoulders are usually a bit tight and tense. And just see what sensations you can feel. Now you can take that awareness and just place it on your face. What sensations can you feel on your face? So now, because the breath is located around the face area, now it's a suitable time to start paying attention to the breathing. Watching the breath go in, watching the breath go out, all the while doing it with a quiet mind. you're meditating, you notice that your mind is becoming more calmer and more peaceful. And this is the reason why a person who meditates over and over again. It's for this experience of peace and calm that you get from the practice. And it's something to, I think, always remember. Bit warm, eh? Anybody got any questions? Comments? No? Okay. Never mind. Anyway, so yeah, like I said earlier, just before I gave my talk, is just to give you guys an offering that the monks won't be, we won't be teaching during the rains retreat. So the rains retreat is for 3 months, and we'll be having 3 months staying here for the rains and during the rains retreat, basically the monks, we're not allowed to go anywhere. So our intentions is to make a commitment to one place, and we stay at that place for 3 months to work on the practice and the meditation. And it all came about during the Buddha's time, because it was like the rainy season in India. And it was just too wet for the monks to travel around. You can imagine in those times where just the early stages of Buddhism, you can sort of bring your mind back and just imagine. I don't think there were too many monasteries or things like that around, so the monks would have just found quiet places in the forest to meditate. Yeah. And because the rains made it too difficult for the monks to travel. And also I think another one of the reasons is because as the monks would walk through like the farms and the paddy fields, and because they had like animals in the ground. And so the monks would trample on the ground and they would kill the animals. So that was another reason why the Buddha told the monks to stay put for 3 months. So that's how the sort of like the rainy season retreat came about, where it gave monks time, which is good, because you know, sometimes, you know, as a monk you may get a little bit restless and you want to travel to Melbourne, or you want to travel to America. and because the supporters are very kind, I'll buy you a ticket to go here and there. I go here for 2 weeks, go here for a month, and then you're always moving around, so you never get a chance to actually just stay in one place and really challenge the mind to actually see what comes up. Because that's in life, that's what we do, we distract ourselves. So in a sense, it's really good training for a monk to just stay in one place and do as little as possible. So I'm going to cut out a lot of the work, not all the work, otherwise this place won't get cleaned. So we just do as little as possible, and if there's something that we have to do, we do. But for the most part, we just stay in our rooms. And you can imagine in Bodhinyana Monastery, or there's a main area, and there's monks' huts in the forest. And I like to tell people that in a monastery, we only see each other for maybe 10% of the day. And then the rest of the time, we're by ourselves in our rooms, in the forest, working on our minds and trying to meditate as much as possible. And because you put yourselves in a situation where you don't have too many distractions, you can really start to see what is really happening in your mind. You can start to see all the different layers that sort of like stop you as a monk to develop deeper and deeper meditation. And the way the monastery is set up, you can just see and understand that what the Buddha really wanted was he wanted the monastics to meditate. And he said that a lot of times in the suttas, he would always end the sutta. He would say that the huts are empty. There's free room under the trees, so you can go sit meditation. Your time is limited, so use it wisely. So that's what we're going to do for the next 3 months. And in a sense, so you don't get to see us anymore. But it's not true. You can come and see us. And it doesn't mean that we block ourselves from the people who come here on Monday night, or from our supporters who come and feed us every day. And it doesn't mean that we don't stop teaching people. So if you feel that you want to come here to participate in feeding the monks in the community, then you're most welcome. And that also gives you a chance, if you have any questions about meditation, or if you want to have some advice on how to practice the Buddha's teachings, that's a great opportunity to ask the monks. Because like in these classes, it's just basically focused on meditation, and sometimes because we're in a big group, people are shy to ask questions. Every time I ask, is there a question? And you guys know me so well. No question. So this is like one way for us to like help you guys out. But there's also other ways that we can help you out as well. And that way is to just come to the monastery when the monks are being fed. And then that's a good time to interact and ask questions about Dhamma or about your practice. And there's this one famous monk in Thailand, and that's all he does. He's like in his 60s. His name is Ajahn Gunha. Ajahn Brahm talks really highly of him, and he's gone to the point. It's like kind of interesting. Like as monks, we always do the same thing, but as you become more senior, more well known, a lot of your like other responsibilities, you don't have to do them anymore. So So all the monks go in alms round, which is basically just walking through the village and collecting food for the day's meal. But because this monk is like a senior monk, he's done it for so many years, he doesn't have to do that anymore. and then because he's a senior monk, people cook him food and give it to him, and he eats by himself. And that's all understandable, because you know, you sort of like worked your way, or you know, you've been a monk for a long time, you're well respected, and I think one of the reasons is they want to just cook him healthy food so he lives a long time, because he's a special monk.
Yes.
He's a special monk. But what he does when he's in his monastery is he just sits down in his chair and he just talks to people. So people go there for the meal, and after the meal they see him and they just have a chit chat, ask questions about meditation, and he might say a few things about Dharma. And that's like another way of teaching, and which, you know, we can try to do that here, because different teachers have different styles. And yeah, so that's like what I wanted to just to say a little bit about what's happening for the next 3 months. And I know all you guys do around Armidale. So, yeah.
What time is your meal every day?
The meal is at 11 o'clock every day. Yeah. I know you guys live around Almondale, close by. But anyways, I was just thinking of a story which was very nice, and it's one of the stories from the suttas, and it's about contentment, and it showed you the degree of like attainment the Buddha had. And you can understand now it's getting really cold and the temperature's dropping, and this was happening in the time of the Buddha, and the Buddha was just you could say meditating in the cold. And then it was about time for him to go to sleep, and then there was this wanderer that was just walking by. And he came across the Buddha. And then he asked the Buddha, Venerable Sir, you only have your robe and your upper robe. That's not enough to keep you warm. And the Buddha said, No. That's enough to keep me warm. I can sleep at night. That's all I need. So this wanderer, he was really intrigued. He says, that's impossible. It's so cold out, and you only have a few of your robes. There's no way in the world you can go to sleep at night. And then the Buddha, just being the Buddha, he said to this wanderer, he said, if there was a man like living in a house, and the house has been warmed up by fire, and his house is double storied, and it's got marble bench tops, leather couches, and he's got 3 wives, a dog, a cat, and some goldfish, and he's got the best security that money can buy. But when he goes to sleep, he starts to worry. He worries about whether his 3 wives love him. He worries about whether the locks are going to be broken by the burglars. He worries about if his house looks nice or not. And because with all that worry, even with all those comforts, he can't go to sleep. But because, and the Buddha said, because I'm a monk who is well trained, and I have a mind which is content wherever I go, every night I have a good sleep. So yes. So contentment is a very powerful thing. So wherever you go, you can sort of like fit into the situation with contentment. Wherever you go, there's a sense of ease and a sense of peace. And whatever you do becomes easy. When you want to sleep, it's very easy to sleep because you're happy in that moment. And recently, this place got broken into. And Jaya locks the doors, and Sukha Kama as well. But I don't know how well they sleep. Never mind. Okay, that's enough. Bob, take it away.
Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all ties and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind until I realize the banner in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, unsurpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be destroyed.
Thank you, Ajahn.
No worries. You guys want to have a chat? Ask a question? You can come up, have a question if you want to. Oh, it's so warm in here. That's because we are just right to you.